Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I would like for you to go ahead and find 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're in a series on understanding grace. This is number 3. We're going to talk about this morning. I'm planning on getting through this part of it this morning. We're not going to get through teaching on this. We're going to teach on this for quite some time to come. At least a couple more times anyway, maybe 3, maybe 4. We'll see. All right, praise God. But I want to talk about the different, you know, Peter said in the 4th chapter, I want you to go to the 1st chapter, but Peter said in the 4th chapter, he called grace many-sided. Well, actually, the King James says manifold, which means many-sided or different, I don't know whether varieties would be a right way to say it or not, but God's got more than 31 flavors. That's for those of you that like ice cream. Isn't it Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors? Okay, they probably have more than that now. But anyway, hey, I don't know about you, but I like more than just vanilla ice cream. You know, I like some stuff in there. You know what I'm talking about. I just had Phyllis to go to the store just a week ago or so and get me some that was called ooey gooey butter cake ice cream. Use your imagination what that's like. Everything it says it is, ooey gooey butter. Like, this is probably not good for you, but man, it sure tastes good. I'm going to die happy. Hallelujah. So God's got he's got a lot of flavors of grace. Amen? You know, he's got healing grace. He's got saving grace. He's got financial grace, marriage grace. Peter talked about husbands and wives, you know, living together outside of strife. He said that you may be heirs together, the grace of life. Right. So there's a grace for your marriage. When you have that grace, it's good. You don't have that grace, it's bad. It's good to have grace on your marriage. Amen. I've had grace on my marriage now for this year will be 35 years. And so anyway, so it's good to have grace on your marriage, man. I mean, if you've ever dealt with or been in a marriage where there wasn't the grace on it, then you know it's not good. Amen. Amen. So God's got all different kinds of grace. I mean, you know, he's got all kinds of flavors of grace. He's not just a vanilla God. You know, like some people say, you know, he'll get you saved and get you to heaven and then you're on your own. You know, the rest of life, you got to figure it out by yourself and see if you make it. The devil's going to beat your brains out halfway through life, but at the end of all this, there's God. It'll be good. It'll be worth it all in the end. Well, you know, that's not God. God's big enough. He's large enough to not only take care of our eternity, but he's large enough. He's big enough to take care of our temporal needs and our right and here and now. He's able to take care of all of this. We don't have to limit him to one or the other. We can expect that God will do both because he said so in his word, okay? So we have to understand that he understands you need money. He understands you need vehicles. He understands all these things. But, you know, someone said this. I like this. You know, he said, it's not a matter of asking why God doesn't. This isn't the way they said it, but this is the gist of what I heard. It's not a matter of asking God why he doesn't. It's a matter of asking yourself why you didn't receive. What's keeping God from being able to? Because God's in the notion to bless you. But sometimes we do things. This is not a condemnation thing. We have to grow and learn. We do things that keep him from doing what he wants to do. Now, you don't believe that, so just think how many people God wants to fill and baptize with the Holy Spirit today in America. Well, why doesn't he? Because they're doing things that are keeping him from being able to do it. I'm not saying they're doing sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying they're not putting themselves into position to receive what he has. You understand that? So see, it's not a matter of necessarily we're doing wrong. It's just we're not doing the right things to receive. See, you're going to worry if you don't do what God said do. You can ask God to deliver you from worry, but if you don't do what the Bible says and stop it and pray and cast your care, then God's not going to be able to help you. Right? You know, it's like I heard Brother Hagin say one time, he was at a church, you know, and he said one of the saints in the church was, you know, attacked with a sickness, and it was like unto death. And they had called the church and asked because if they would pray for this person. And so they did. They prayed for her, and they prayed and asked God to heal her and touch her. And the next day, somebody came back, because this was like an extended meeting. The next day, somebody came back to the meeting and said, "Oh, Sister so-and-so, she's doing much, much better, much better." Well, how many know that's shouting grounds, right? I said, right? That's what they prayed about. They said, then they got up and said, "But let's keep praying that God will complete the healing." Like, God's a halfway God, and we only got him talked into doing half of it the other night. And Brother Hagin said, when they did that, you know, the Lord spoke to me, said, they took her out of my hands because they just said I didn't do it. Boy, it's quiet in this Holy Ghost church. Come on, if I want to pastor a Presbyterian, no offense to the Presbyterians, but, you know, I'd go pastor a Presbyterian church, but I thought I was pastoring a full gospel word of faith church. That people had some mouths and could say something. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, see, you got to keep it in faith. I mean, now they're saying God's not done it. He's not complete. He's not healed, or he's not done it. And see, that's the same thing with our cares. You know, we may cast them over on the Lord, but do we leave them there? You know what I'm saying? Do we pick them back up and say, well, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can really trust God with this. We've all done it before. Amen. It's like I had a friend in the ministry, and the city was giving him a rough time about his building, you know, and he'd spent all the money he had in the building account to get this building going, you know, and then the city came in and said, well, you got to tear all this out and redo this. It's not fire retardant. So it's all got to come out. Well, he's thinking, well, I can't take it all out because I don't have any money to put anything else back, you know. I mean, how many know that? If you're a pastor, that could weigh on you. Oh, yeah, I know. I've been there. I've been there when we had a week to go. When we were going to be out of our building, we didn't have any place to go. You don't think the devil didn't try to talk to me every night? Say, you're going to look like a fool when you're all meeting out in the middle of the street. But you got to learn to cast it over on the Lord. Yeah. If this is his work, then, you know, I mean, if I'm messing it up, tell me, Lord. But, you know, I did mess that up a little bit, and I repented because I knew we were supposed to be out of that building, but I forgot. So I did have some fault, but aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Yeah. You know, this guy called me, he said, now you remember you're supposed to be out in 2 weeks. I said, no. He said, that was our agreement. You have to be out in 2 weeks. So I called my lovely wife to tell her just how wrong these people were. She said, yeah, that's what they said. What do you tell me? I didn't remember. And then when she told me, I thought, oh man, I remember that now. But I repented. Everybody say repent. Repent. It's good for the soul. And I sought God, and God got us out. But my friend, you know, he said, I like what he said. He said, you know, I cast my care over on the Lord, you know. And he said, either I'm a bad thrower or God's a bad catcher because it kept coming back. But, you know, I understood what he was talking about. Eventually, he got it over there on the Lord, and everything worked out. And he's in the building today. Amen. Amen. And he didn't have to spend all that money. They came up with a remedy to fix it. Amen. God is good. Amen. Now, have you found 1 Peter? Verse 10, chapter 1. Remember we said, Peter said there's many sides. So here's, before we read that, let me do this. Sorry. Before we read that, let me talk about this. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about different areas of grace. We're going to talk about grace that changes. If you say grace that changes.
Grace that changes.
We're going to talk about grace that empowers. Say grace that empowers. And then we're going to talk about grace that blesses.
Grace that blesses.
And we're going to do it in 31 minutes and 45 seconds. So let's go. Now, probably not. But anyway, let's go here to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, of which salvation, talking about the salvation we have, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Now, isn't that something? They were hungry for this. We need to have that hunger in us. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, what does that tell you? Well, if they prophesied about the grace that would come unto us, they didn't have it in the Old Testament. They didn't have it. He said, searching, verse 11, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, or literally this would be the Spirit of the Messiah, the Spirit of the Messiah, who was with them or in, or with who was in them or with them, really, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, what he's talking about is talking about the Old Testament prophets that prophesied about the Messiah. They saw he was coming. They saw the salvation coming. Verse 12 says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel, the good news. Listen now, we got good news in this new covenant. Unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Folks, we have things the angels just desire to look into. It's so good. Come on, are you with me now? We have things that are so good. The angels desire to look into it. But notice, he said these Old Testament saints, these Old Testament prophets, they didn't have this grace. They were prophesying what was coming to us. Unto us. They didn't have it. See, the Old Testament, when you read Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, it ends in the word curse. The book of Revelation says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's how it ends. Old Testament ends in curse. New Testament ends in grace. It's a different deal. Hallelujah. It's a different day. Praise God. You know, there's an Old Testament. There's a story in the New Testament. Luke, Jesus has his face set like he's going to Jerusalem. Because it's his time to be offered up. So he's got his face set like he's going to Jerusalem. In other words, for some way, the people knew this is where he's headed. But yet, he comes to Samaria, to a village there, and he's evidently going to have a meeting on his way to Jerusalem. So he sends his team ahead to get ready for him, to prepare for the meeting. And so the Bible says they didn't receive him because his face was set like it would go, he was going to Jerusalem. There was a lot of prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breed Jews. And so there was Samaritans. See, that's why the disciples, when Jesus was at that woman at the well, he was talking with her, they came back, they were startled that he was, first of all, talking to this woman, and secondly, that he was talking to a Samaritan. Because there was a lot of racial prejudice. And so when these Samaritans found out that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, they decided, even though he went to their village and preached to them without any racial prejudice, remember, he went right into that village and preached to them. Yet, because he was like he's going to Jerusalem, they wouldn't receive him. They wouldn't receive him. Like, we don't want you to have a meeting here. And John and James, his disciples, said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down as Elijah did? Now, what were they talking about? Well, in the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah was up on a hill, and the king sent a captain and 50 men to go get him. And he just didn't want to go that day. And he said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down on you and burn you alive. Burn them up. So the king said, hey, you, take 50 more and go. And so this other guy, he takes 50 more and he goes, the king said, man of God, come down. And Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down, burn you up. Burn it up. Burn them to a crisp. And so the king calls another guy. About that time, I'm looking for a new job. And so this guy, he takes his 50, and he goes, oh, man of God, have mercy on him. I mean, he humbles himself. Come down. And Elijah came down. That's what he's talking about. But listen to what Jesus told his disciples. When they said, do you want us to call fire down? He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. Boys, it's not like that. We got grace here today. Amen. You don't know what manner of spirit you have. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. See, we got some good stuff going on, and we better be thankful that we're not in that Old Testament. Amen. You know, because Jesus, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, well, in the Old Testament, let me say this first. In the Old Testament, there were times that God told Israel, he said, go into the city, go into the country, and kill everybody there. And they think, now how could a loving God do that? Well, you need to dig a little deeper and find out why. There's some reasons why. Here's the reason why. You would not believe how perverted the nations had become. America's pretty perverted right now. But I'm telling you, listen, You would not believe some of the things they did. They've done some things we haven't thought of here in America yet, but people are starting to think about it. Now, here's the thing. Had God allowed, all those people were going to do was just, they were just going to corrupt more of the earth. If Israel went in, they were going to corrupt them. Their hearts could not be changed because there wasn't grace. Come on, are you with me? See, grace changes things, man. You see, people today preach grace forgives you. Grace does more than forgive you. It changes you. It changes you. And so, see, in the New Testament, what did Jesus tell his disciples? Now go into every town and kill everybody. Is that what he said? What did he say? He said, go into the towns and preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Bless people. Why? Because now there's grace to change people. You can go, see, if the gospel, see, that's why the prophet said, man, we'd like to see what we're prophesying about. We'd like to see this kind of grace that changes people. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace changes you. Grace. I know grace changes you. You know how I know grace changed you? Because it changed me. Did it change you? Now, it changed my want-tos. It changed my desires. Now, you know, I still have flesh. Let me know, you do too, right? Has anybody got their glorified body yet?
No.
Travis, you got yours yet? Okay, I'm just checking. Nobody has yet, right. So, let me know, as long as you're still in the flesh can give you trouble. But that's not the real you. The real you's on the inside. See, the real you has been given, the Bible says, and in Ezekiel, that in this new covenant, God would give us a new heart and a new spirit. And so he'd change us to where our want to is no longer to do the things that are wrong. Now, our flesh may still want to do it, and it may trip us up at times, but we don't want to do it. If we had our way, if I had my way, and if you're born again, you feel the same way. If I had my way, you had your way, all temptation would leave the earth. Is that right?
Yeah.
All sin would leave the earth.
Amen.
All ungodliness would leave the earth. We live in a state without. Why is that so? Because we've changed. Yeah. Now, if you'd have told me when I was 21, all Pabst Blue Ribbon is going to leave the earth, oh, I'd have cried. Because I wasn't changed yet. But thank God I'm changed now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, when I first got saved, in my early days, I should say, in my Christianity, I went to church with a guy who had been released from prison for murder. He had been in prison for murder and had been released. He'd gotten born again, got his life straightened out, and had been released from prison, but he previously was serving time for murder. Well, we worshiped together, you know? And, you know, we'd be in the service, and he might be standing next to me, you know? And I got my hands lifted up. That's what they do when they rob you. I had my eyes closed. Not one time did I think, maybe I better open one eye and just keep it over there on him. You know, he did go to prison for murder. I do have my hands up already. This is a good opportunity for this guy to snap. I didn't think that way. You know why I didn't think that way? Because I knew grace changes.
Amen.
Right? You know, years ago, I think it might have been the 1990s, could have been the late 80s. I think it was probably more like maybe the early 90s or something. There was a young lady in our country that was arrested for a murder, and I think it was a brutal murder. But in prison, she got born again. And she met Jesus Christ and got born again, truly saved, and on fire for Jesus Christ. Totally changed her, man. Now, I mean, I think she's having Bible studies in prison and all, but she was sentenced to die, you know, I don't know whether it might have been lethal injection. I could have still been using electric chair in those days. I don't remember. But anyway, she was sentenced to die. And, I you know, a lot of Christians, you know, they rallied around her and said, hey, now give her clemency, at least from the death penalty. You know, don't do that. She's saved now and all that. But they did go ahead and execute her. And, you know, and a lot of people were sad about that because she was just turned into just such a sweet person, just a really sweet believer. But, you know, here's the thing. Listen, They could have actually, not only could they have commuted her sentence, they could have released her on the streets and she'd been nothing but a blessing. Now, I'm not saying they should. Look, some of you are looking at me kind of funny. I realize there's such thing as justice for the family. Right? I get that. But I'm just making my point. I'm making is something changed this woman. See, you can't leave somebody that's a murderer out on the streets, right? Because they might murder somebody else. But when grace comes, amen, they're not a murderer any longer. They're a new creature. Yeah. If any man be in Christ, yeah, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what happens is when we get saved, we don't just get forgiveness of sins. Thank God for that. We need that. But we don't just get forgiveness of sins. We get changed. God's grace is the power to change us. Listen, this is, how many have ever heard of Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible? You know, it defines words. Strong's, you can look this up for yourself if you'd like to just see it. But Strong's defines one of the meanings of the word grace, and Strong's exhaustive concordance is this. This is what it says. Now listen very carefully to what this says. This is really good. Strong says grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. In other words, what grace does is it comes in and changes your heart, and it reflects in your life. You can see it. I said, you can see it. Hallelujah. You know, I've told you before my story, but they're my stories, so I'll tell you my stories. Amen. Well, you know, before I got saved, somewhere around 1970-something, they started making you put your photo on your license plates, or your license plates. That'd get people to back off, wouldn't it? Get too close and there's a picture of Kenny. Whoa. I'm backing off here. The sheriff's in town. On your driver's license. Okay. Well, I remember, you know, I don't know what year it was. It was in the 70s. But I had to get my driver's license renewed. Well, I wasn't saved and I was a partier, drug user. And you know, I came out of that 60s, 70s, you know, age with the drugs and all that, psychedelics, everything else. I did all that. So all that stuff was part of my life. And so, you know, I wouldn't get home sometimes. You know, I'd go out and party, wouldn't get home until sometimes 4:30 in the morning, 5:30, it's been 6:30 in the morning. You know, just partying all night. And now, I tell you this because I had to go get my license, and I, you know, you had to get up and be there by noon. The license branch closed Saturday at noon. Well, I worked during the week, you know, so I couldn't go during the week. So I went in there looking pretty rough. You know, long hair, nothing wrong with long hair. You know, I had long hair, you know, and looked pretty rough. And I get my, you know, and those pictures never do you, they never do you justice anyway. Nobody uses those pictures, you know. I mean, it's like, who in the world is this? My gosh. So, just to let you know, the government buys the cheapest cameras they can find. Anyway, you know, and so I get my picture taken, and so that's on my driver's license, and I look rough, I look bad. And then I give my life to Jesus Christ. And some time passes, and I need to go get my license renewed. So, I go to the license branch again, and when I get ready to get my new license, the lady says, I'll have to have your old license. And I said, well, I'd like to keep them. I didn't tell her why. I just want to keep them for a souvenir, before or after. You know, because it's a rough-looking picture. And she said, no, you'll have to give them to me. And so I handed those licenses to her, my old license, BC, before Christ. I handed those licenses to her. She looked at that. This is the honest truth. God is my witness. She looked at that and said, that's not you. That's exactly what the woman said. I said, yes, it is. She said, that is not you. I said, ma'am, that is me. She goes, what happened to you? Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Everybody say grace.
Grace.
This woman noticed the difference of that picture before Christ and the new creature standing in front of her. She could tell the difference just by looking at me. There was glory on me. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mean I had a halo over my head. I never have had one of those yet. Glory. I'm working on it. But you know what I'm saying? God had done something. So she said to me, she said, "What happened to you?" I said, "That's what happens when the life of God comes in you."
Amen.
That's exactly what I told her. She durst not ask any more questions. But anyway, what am I saying? See, grace changes you. It doesn't just leave you. See, Titus said, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, justly in this world, and look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get grace in you, man, your life gets cleaned up, and you start looking for Jesus to come back. Woo, hallelujah. So we get this grace. Well, how do we get this? Well, the Bible says by grace are we saved through faith. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this grace comes into our life. There's no strings attached. The Bible says being justified freely by His grace. No strings attached. You don't have to clean up your life first. You just got to come to Jesus and He'll clean your life up. You don't have to get good enough. I remember witnessing to one of my friends one day, he said, "Well, when I quit doing drugs, when I quit doing this, I'm going to give my life to the Lord." I said, "That's not the way it works. You'll never get there that way. You got to give your life to the Lord and then let Him take care of all the other stuff." Hallelujah. Amen. There's grace. Everybody say grace. Grace comes in and changes. Now, I know you don't, everything, I know you still, sometimes people, they work on things for a little while, but that's just their flesh. Amen. If I had my way, man, there wouldn't be any sin on the earth. I used to not think that way. I do now because of grace. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. Come on, are you getting anything this morning? All right, so that's grace that changes. We need to know there's a grace that changes us. And it doesn't. Now listen now. It keeps changing us. It doesn't just change us when we get born again. It keeps working in our life and changing us as we yield to it. The Bible calls it going from glory to glory. Amen. See, sometimes you can get a little bit older in the Lord and you think, there's not much more I could grow. You're dumb. There's a lot more you can grow. You're not done yet. Amen. I said, you're not done yet. See, someone, I'm older now, Pastor. You just leave me alone. Let me go. No. It's like I told that dear saint this morning. If you're old enough, you're 93. You're old enough to go to heaven. If you want to go ahead and go to heaven, that's fine. Go ahead. I wouldn't blame you a bit. Matter of fact, she talked to Phyllis and I about it. Just like it's not a big deal. It's like I'm just going somewhere else. She would talk to us like she's going on vacation. Well, she got a revelation. Really? She was like, well, she wanted to go. But I'm like, okay, if you want to go, but don't let the devil take you out. don't let him have any part of it. Let God heal you this, and then if you want to die after that, go ahead. Amen. And so you have to understand that God's got some really good things for all of us. And he's going to keep changing us. Don't ever get satisfied. Don't ever say, I'm so old. I'm just going to sit and wait to die. Well, that's exactly what you're going to do, sit and wait to die. But you could live. Yeah. Yes. Amen. I said, you could live. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Amen. I know things happen in life sometimes try to knock you out, but you got to spring back. Yeah. You know, when Dr. Summerall's wife died, he was really depressed, Dr. Lester Summerall. When his wife died, he was really depressed, and he started writing a book, Goodbye World, Goodbye. It's been nice knowing you. And the minister that I know was in his office and saw the manuscript. He said, don't do that, Dr. Summerall. Don't do that. He'd bark, growl. He said, I'm going. He said, don't write that book. He said, if you write that book, you'll go on and be with the Lord. And we young preachers still need you. Yeah. But he bounced back. I said, he bounced back. See, sometimes, life hits you, but you got to bounce back, everybody. Yeah. Go with victory. Yeah. Glory to God. Go with joy and gladness. Yes. Praise God. Go with a sound mind. Hallelujah. I'm going with a sound mind. You may be, Pastor, you need to pray because you need some help right now. Don't you confess over me. Amen. I'm all right. Amen. I'm going with a sound mind. I'm going with a sound body. Amen. I understand, you know, you get older, you know, you don't run like you used to run. You can't lift the weights like you could when you get to be 95. You're probably not bench pressing 600 pounds any longer, but you don't have to be sick.
Come on.
Amen. Be strong.
Yeah.
Now, all right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. You there? All right, I'm getting ready to share this, and I want to share one more thing with you. 1 Corinthians, we're going to talk about grace that empowers you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul. He said this in verse 9. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Now, he's not just being humble. He really believes this. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was upon me, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, what is he saying? He said, well, I'm not fit to be an apostle. I persecuted the church, but God saw fit to make me an apostle. It's his grace. And he said, I outlabored all of them. Peter, James, John, all of them. I outlabored all of them. I done more than all of them. Well, we know that's true just by reading the New Testament. He wrote 2/3 of it. But in his ministry, he traveled more, he did more, he established more churches, he did more than Peter, James, and John, all of them. But he clarifies it. He says, it wasn't me, it was the grace of God that's in me. He said, God's grace can empower you for your everyday life even. It's God's enabling grace. It gifts you. It gives you gifts. It gives you strength.
Amen.
Right? It gives you ability.
Amen.
I mean, there's times I found myself and I found this isn't my grace. It's just not my grace. I don't have grace to do this. So what do? I stick with what I'm graced to do. I try to. I can't always, but I try to stick with what I'm graced to do. There's a few things I do. Sometimes I don't have grace to do this, but it needs to be done. But you know, I try to stick with what I'm graced to do. Because then you don't get wore out. Amen. See, the reason why preachers get burnt out because they're doing a lot of things God didn't call them to do. Right? A lot of pastors are trying to keep up with the pastor down the street. And the pastor down the street may have a vision from God, but it's not God's vision for you. And so if you, well, that grew his church, so I'm going to do that. Well, that might kill your church and kill you in the process. Because if you don't have grace... I always love it when people say, Pastor, I really think we ought to do this. Okay, you're over it. Well, I didn't mean me. I meant you. No, I'm not doing it. It may not be anything wrong with it. It may be need to be done. It may be worthy, but I'm not doing it. Now, I've done about everything. There's not hardly anything in church that I haven't done. I said one time the only thing I haven't done is work in a nursery, and Jackie told me we can fix that. I appreciate that, Miss Jackie, but I'm just going to leave that unfixed. But I've done it all, man. I mean, I have preached. I've been the pastor. I've been the associate pastor. I've led the praise and worship. I've taught the youth. I've taught the children's church. I've cleaned the toilets. I've fixed the toilets. When people flush stuff down the toilet, you should never flush down a toilet. There's a reason why there's toilet paper there. That is the proper thing to go in the toilet. So I've done all kinds of things. I wasn't graced to do some of them, but I did them because they had to be done. If the whole team, you know, wasn't here today, I could have got up and led praise and worship. You wouldn't have liked it, but I could have done it. As long as there's a guitar here, I could do it. As long as we still got the chords C, G, D, F, and E, and E minor. You can form a song around that, and I can play it. You get like B minor and F sharp, flat, whatever, I don't know. You lost me. We're not going to do that. We'll just leave that one out. We'll get it. Well, it'll work. Praise God. So I can do that, and I have done it, but it's not my grace. That's why I don't do it any longer. That's why I don't even have a guitar now. It's not even under my bed. I got other things I'm graced to do. Amen. teach the Bible. I don't know if you know that or not, but I like to teach the Bible. Why? Because that's my grace. That's what I like to do. That's what I'm anointed to do. I just stick with my grace. Now see, God will empower you. Paul, that's what Paul was saying. God's empowered me. He's given me grace. That's why I outworked everybody. It's not because I'm this big shot. I'm the superhero. I'm better than the rest of them. No, you're not any better. You just got more grace. See, the Bible talks about God gave some 10, 5, and 1. Now, they all got rewarded with your faithful, you know, that except the one guy that didn't do anything. But see, it wasn't the amount of talents they had, it's what they did with what they had. See, it's not the amount that you have. Amen. See, some people, you know, they're more grace to do certain things than other people are. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We had a guy one time, I won't tell that story. Anyway, all right, praise God. Go to Psalm 5. Let's close. Come on, did you get something today? Some stories are better left untold. Psalm 5. Oh, please tell it, Pastor. Give me a $100 offering and I'll do it. Psalm 5. So, there's grace that changes. See, grace doesn't just forgive you. It doesn't just save you, quote. It changes you. There's grace that empowers you, right? See, Paul said about this, he said, when Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars of the church, perceived the grace that was on me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They could see the grace, right? See, I've seen people say, well, I'm called to preach, and they get up and they preach, and you think, you don't have grace. See, if you're called to preach, you can do it. You'll get better at it, but there'll be a refreshing, an anointing. Amen. See, I've told you the story about a guy, you know, that really thought he was called to preach, but when he got up, he couldn't do anything. You know, he kept after me, let me preach, let me preach, let me preach. Well, I wasn't the senior pastor at this church, and so I just kind of, you know, shifted it over to the pastor. You know, even though the pastor told me you can have anybody in to preach you want to preach, I trust you, we've been together long enough. He said, I just laid it off and put it back. I shirked my responsibilities. Anybody ever done that? I said, you need to talk to the pastor. And so he went and talked to the pastor, and the pastor said, okay, I'll give you a Sunday night. He got up to preach, and he just couldn't do it. I mean, I don't mean he failed miserably. He didn't even launch. I mean, he didn't just stumble around and was incoherent. He didn't even get open your Bibles up, I don't think. I don't even think he got that far. And it was quite obvious, there's no grace here. Amen. Now, if God graces you, you're going to get better by study, prayer, experience, seasoning. But you're going to be able to do it. First time I preached 45 minutes. The second time I preached an hour and a half. One of the deacons told me, I think 45 minutes is long enough. He was right, particularly at that time, of that stage of development. It was probably too long. Now, all right, so there's grace that empowers. Then there's grace, everybody say, grace that blesses. Grace. Look at Psalm 5:12 as we close this out this morning. Verse 12 says, For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will compass him or surround him as with a shield. So God wants a shield of his favor around us. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's his grace. Favor and grace, they're connected. And what it means is that God, remember now, everything that we have from God, you know, it's given to us at the new birth, but we have to appropriate it. We have to receive it by faith. So God wants there to be a shield of faith around us, or a shield of favor around us, that every place we go, people bump into that favor. They bump into that grace that's on our life. And see, we need, the Bible talks about favor with God, with favor with man. God wants to give us favor. That doesn't mean everybody's going to like you, but in the big picture, you're going to have favor. There's going to be some people that don't like you. I don't know if you know that or not. There's some people just don't like you. I know they're, you know, like a friend of mine said, I took a poll, everybody likes me, he's all right. All right. So, but there are some people who don't like you. So, but God still, in the big picture of things, he's going to give you something called favor. It's his grace on your life. Remember a man, Joseph, had it on his life. What happened? He got sold as a servant, and he ends up in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar does what? He makes him ruler of his house. Because why? The favor of God's on him, the grace of God's on him. He ends up getting put in prison. What happens in prison? The keeper of the prison puts him in charge over the prison. He gets out of prison, and Pharaoh does what? Pharaoh puts him in charge of his house and the country. Pharaoh said, you know, only to me. The only one that you have to answer is me. I'm it. That's it. And he gave him his second chariot. Now see, Joseph is in the prison in the morning, and before the day's over, he's riding in the second chariot, Pharaoh's second best chariot. And they're saying, bow the knee. That's favor. See, what am I showing? See, this only God can do that. Only God can take somebody who's in prison of the morning and make them prime minister that night. I mean, what do you think? If we have presidential debates and some guy shows up, he's running for president, he's on the debate stage, and, well, what's your background? Well, I was in prison this morning. You probably think it's typical America. I repent. Not really. Anyway. How many know Jesus had favor on him, right? He had grace on him. The Bible says that the grace of God was on Jesus. Now, you know, the standard definition of grace is unmerited favor, but we know it's got to be more than unmerited favor because Jesus merited the favor of God, didn't he? He had it coming. Nobody else had it coming. He had it coming. He kept the law. But the Bible said the grace was on him. Well, God just gave him grace, man. I mean, everywhere he went, he had grace. He had favor. Praise God. It's God's blessing. Amen? Ephesians tells us God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'd call that grace. Amen? He's, you know, there's just so much here. The Bible says the Lord is gracious. Psalm 145, 8 and 9 says the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Amen? The word gracious, he's disposed to show his favors. God just wants to do you good. As a matter of fact, so much God wants you to do you good. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this, that God, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has raised us together with Christ, seated us in heavenly places with him, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Yeah. So I like what the Amplified Bible says. God, so rich is he in his love, for his longing, intense, yearning love, something like that, he had to do something for us. He loved us so much, I got to do something for you. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise you from your death of sin. I'm going to seat you with Christ, and I'm going to be good to you throughout all the ages. Glory to God. About the time you think you've seen some good stuff in heaven, God said, I'm going to show you some other stuff. Amen. By the time you've seen the best you think you could see, how many know he's going to show you more? Amen. Has anybody ever read the brochure about heaven? What do you mean the brochure? There's a brochure about it? Oh, yeah, it came down. Yeah, God, he printed a brochure about heaven. Not everything, but just enough to whet your appetite. Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, it's called the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, that's right.
Read the last few chapters. Talks about the heavenly Jerusalem coming down. How good it's going to be. Think about it. We don't have a clue, man. We don't have a clue how good it's going to be. And God said, I'm going to spend all eternity just being good to you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Amen. Well, Pastor, that's exactly what my husband does. Keep him. Keep him. Amen. Don't throw that fish back. That's probably the best one you're going to catch. Amen. So there's grace. Everybody say grace that changes. Grace that empowers. And grace that blesses. There's many sides to God's grace. And he wants you and I to experience it all. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you know, thank God we're in the new covenant. Yes. Amen. Come on up, Jill, if you would. Thank God we're in the new covenant, right? Yes. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm alive to be a part of the new covenant where there's this grace. Amen. Grace that changes. Amen. Grace, amen, that empowers and grace that blesses. Is that all the grace there is? Oh, no, that's not all the grace. That's not all the grace there is. It's just all the grace you got time for this morning. There's plenty more.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.